Bibles to Exodus 20.
We're going to be going to a couple of different chapters and verses today. We're going to start in chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, if you're using the red Bible in the pew. It's on page number 60. And in honor of God's word, if you would stand with me as we read these passages. Chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And now if you would turn to chapter 34, which would be on page 74, we are going to read verses 12 through 17. Exodus chapter 34, starting in verse 12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Each of us has our homes. We've purchased a new house over here, and none of us want to have any intruders in it. Just us, and my wife and I were happily sitting in our home Friday noon, and we were invaded, unbeknownst to us, by all of our children and their children. What a wonderful experience. And then my brother and his dear wife, they're sitting on the back there. Be sure to get to meet them. He looks like me, but I'm better looking. And That's a joke. And but we have intruders coming in. Lila here. Was that yesterday? Yesterday morning at 6 o'clock, an intruder broke through their garage door window. It's only this big, come flying through it, breaking, cut himself, tried to do some stuff in the garage, tried to touch the front door, jumped through the kitchen window, cut himself up, a lot of blood. Great that Lila didn't have her hearing aids in. She didn't hear it. And her dear son sleeps downstairs, and he heard it. By the time he got up, they was gone. Aren't you glad they were gone? But an intruder. Nobody ought to be in your home, huh? Nobody. We also have other intruders. You know, we don't want them in. Ants. How many of you got ants in your house? I seen one this morning. My mama hates them. She does. There's an ant in my house. You know, how many of you has any mice in your house? Every mice, okay. And that is, you hate to have these intruders in there. One day, Heidi stepped on something down in the church here, and it was a snake. Look at this, there's a crowd over here. I take you don't like snakes. It is. Only people should be in my house. Do you know God says, I don't want any idols in my house. Is that right? No idols in my house. No, I'm God. And this is my house. Is that right? And I don't want any idols in my house. And that's a powerful statement to realize that. The first commandment. Let's go to the first commandment. We saw this last week. I want you to look at this. I do believe this list here, if you would have this pumping in your soul, you would have a good day every day. You got God. Let's look at it. Exodus 20, verse 1. Exodus 20, verse 1. You know, this is God's house. This is God alone only. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I preached on this last week. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm the one. I'm the only one. No one else. Keep your place here. Last week we went to Isaiah 40 and 41. Keep your place here in Exodus 20. Go to Isaiah 43. Everybody to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 40, 41, 43, 44. If you do not know where to look in the Bible to find a great description of God, you need to go to Isaiah 40 to 44. We'll include 42. But 44, 41, 42, 43, 44, these are the powerful. We read through Isaiah 40 and 41 last week. We're in Isaiah 43. 43 verse 1. Isaiah 43 verse 1. Great description of God. I'm going to be selectively moving down through these verses. It says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art what? Mine. It's one of the greatest phrases in the Bible. Do you know you belong to God? And he's a jealous God. This morning we're going to catch it. He has jealous love. Is that right? Get those two words together. Love and jealous. He has jealous love. I have jealous love for my children, for my brother and his wife, for my grandchildren mostly. Okay. Jealous love. You know, I would fight the devil himself for my grandchildren. Amen? Jealous love. That's God. Don't look at him. He's jealous. No, it's jealous love. And I want you to think about that. Here he says, thou, Isaiah 43 verse 1, thou art mine. Verse 2, when thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. I slaughtered Egypt to save you. Is that right? And Ethiopia and Seba for thee. These people died because I loved you. Is that good? That's heavy, heavy. And then verse 4 it says, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And it says, I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. You know, all others may give in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours. Same thing as verse 3. Jump down to verse 7. Even everyone that called by my name, for I have created him. Why? For my what? Glory. That's awesome. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Verse 10, flow down to verse 10. Yea, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no what? Savior. Verse 12, it says, I have declared and have saved and have shown when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. There was nobody there. I did it. I am God. Verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am He. Before creation, I am He. I love that. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand on those powerful. I will work. And who can let it? Who can stop it? Verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, talking about the Red Sea, and a path in the mighty waters. Verse 17. Which bringeth forth the chariot and the horses. Pharaoh's chariots got destroyed. The army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They died. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow, as a candle wick that burns out. Verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That's why you have a God. Thank you. Thank you. You're wonderful. Verse 25, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. I just do it because I'm God. And will not remember thy sins. And everybody says, what? You are forgiven. And He will not remember it again. We're not only forgiven, He forgets it. What does God forget? My forgiven sins. Chapter 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Israel, my servant and Israel, whom I have chosen. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. Isn't that great? We have a birth here. Which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant. And thou, Sumeran, whom I have chosen. Verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. Is that an amen? Oh, that's my God. That's my God. Verse 6. Thus saith the Lord God, King of Israel, His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God. Verse 9. They that make a graven image, they make it. God's made. He's the Creator. Are all of them vanity? All idols are vain. And their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know, that they may be ashamed. Verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel. For thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Isn't that great of God? Verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And then the purpose of having of God is to praise Him. Last verse, verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. And everybody said, wow, that's my God. That's the God. I trust that's your God. Because if you have a God like that, you have no problems. That's the first commandment, to see that we have this God and He is all of these things. We went over that last week. He's our source. And then because He's our source, He's our light and our peace and our healer. He's our redeemer, our guide, our leader, our preserver, our advocate, our master, our judge, our ruler. Wow. Do you have that kind of God? You do, if you're following Jesus. But so many times we don't let it just dominate our soul, so that when you get in tough times, like Wanda's in, that how do you make it? Is that right? That's how you make it. It's just not a little God. It's a big God. And He's mine. And I don't know what's going on. I don't like what's going on. But He knows and He loves me. And He's mine. Thou art mine. It's so important that we realize He's working all things out for our good. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Let's go to the second commandment. You know, the second commandment here, of all, thou shalt not have any gods before me, and then have no idols is very, very similar here. And I'm just going to talk about this morning because, you know, everybody's got bugs in their houses, okay? Everybody's got idols too. Is that right? Everybody. I trust this morning that you'll start thinking. I don't want you to think, well, I don't have that one, don't have that one, don't have that one. No, 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 no. I want you to try to think of some things that hinders you from praying. Something that hinders you from coming to church. Something that hinders you from reading your Bible. Something that you do a lot that keeps you from witnessing, keeps you from just rejoicing the Lord, singing praise of the Lord. You're so busy with this other thing, you're doing these other things. And some of these things aren't bad. But if they become dominant in your life, you start doing them instead of praying, doing them instead of reading your Bible, doing them instead of coming to church, doing them instead of worshiping the Lord. Blessing a brother or sister. You don't have time for this because you're doing this. Maybe it's not wrong. I want you to think, God, talk to me. God, show me my idols. Every one of us have some kind of bugs or some kind of little varmints in our house. They tell us if we could see under a microscope all the things crawling on our bodies, we'd all go crazy. You know, we got intruders. Is that right? And this is my house. This is God's house. And He doesn't want any idols here. And so we got to be people that are saying, I am an idol guard. I am an idol prowler. I like this one. I'm an idol bouncer. You know, I'm on the lookout for idols. Is that right? Hope you're on the lookout for idols in your life. And because they creep in, and notice that all idols are made. They don't make this idol. And we make them. And that's something that you do, and nothing wrong with it in its priority. But if you're not careful, you make it an idol. You start giving it more emphasis. You're spending more time there. All of a sudden, you find you don't have time to read your Bible because you got to do this. You don't have time to pray because you got to do this. You don't have time to come to church because you got to do this. All of a sudden, it takes you make it. Is that right? It takes over. That's what I want you to ask. God, help me. Help me. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Let's read it here. Exodus 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make, there's that word, catch it, unto thee, you make them for yourself, any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water beneath, okay? Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. You know, how many of you saw somebody bow down to an actual idol this week? Raise your hand. From that, okay, you saw one, huh? Okay, the rosary, okay. We don't have that big of a problem in that area. Is that true? You know, I could preach on, let's throw out all of our stone gods, let's throw out of all of our images, let's tear them down. You know, how many have, well, I don't see any preacher. So I'm not going to go that direction. If we were in a Buddhist country or a Hindu country, would that be an issue? Big time. Big time. But in America, and in your life and my life, they're different, huh? And so I want you to think about that. That the next one, it says, nor serve them. I think that gets more into it. Exodus 34, verse 12. Keep your place in Exodus 20. I'll read it. Take heed unto thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whether thou goest, these pagan land, these idol worshippers, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee, a trap, that it slows you down, that it hinders you. Is that right? And that's more our style here. Our modern idols. We had a big discussion Wednesday night on modern idols. We won't go in a lot of that, but it was excellent. Most modern idols deal with self-worship. Huh? I like it. It's for me. Benefits me. And an idol can be anything we place ahead of our God in our lives. Anything that tugs at our heart more than God does. Put up the next picture here. I just wanted you to start reading this. This is something that I've thought about. And it says, an idol can be anything that interferes, hinders, or inhibits God from having first place in my life. anything like my ego, pride, love of self, placing self first. Addictions, possessions, lust, greed, careers, hobbies, sports, or the latest electronic gadget. Anything that steals my time with or devotion to God in prayer, Bible study, worship, service, community, that's brothers and sisters helping, or evangelism, reaching out to the lost, is my idol. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? I just want you to think about that. If you want to just keep reading that, keep reading that. That is important that we understand, that we catch this and realize that all John says in 1 John 5:21, little children, is that right? Young believers, keep yourselves from idols. That's his last verse in his last chapter and sums up everything. Is that pretty heavy? And then he says, amen. That should finish it all. If you work at this, you got to work at this. We got to work at keeping ants out, working keeping spiders out. I think this is the year of spiders. Do you have a lot of spiders? I have a lot of spiders. And I just hate when I'm mowing and I got a tree here and a limb and a duck for the limb and I hit a big spider web, just massive. And I'm saying, why aren't my children out here mowing this for me? And you know, you just hate it. You know, spiders, you know. We need to realize I need to be an idol guard. I'm looking out for idols. I don't need to look out for idols in your life, okay? You need to be looking out for idols in your own life. Because they all take different forms and fashions. And you know it. Huh? You know what keeps you from reading your Bible. You know what hinders you from your prayer time. You don't have time because you're doing this. You're doing this. And you put your money there, your energy there, your time there, your thoughts there, your dreams there. Is that right? You love it. And that's why he said, don't love anything above me. Don't do it. And we got to fight for that. I got to fight for that. And I want you to just think about it. This gives you an overall definition of it. And I think you should work. Teenagers, work through it. Does every age level of your life have different levels of idols and different things that take you, and then you just grow past it and it doesn't even bother you anymore? Okay? And it's important that we catch that and realize, boy, God help me. Because Satan wants to trap us to keep our focus off of God and focus on stuff, even good stuff. We wouldn't be fussing about bad stuff. You know, we would be against anything that's witchery or demonic or satanic or the games or anything on television. Is there a lot of demonic and ghosts and wizards and all that on television shows? Turn them off. Is that right? Is there video games with all that stuff on them? Turn them off. Teenagers, if your parents say, that video game, we're not going to have in our house. Bless Jesus, because that video game probably has evil all through it. And if you get your mind on it, he's got you. He's got you. And going to movies and stuff that have evil and godlessness and demonic stuff, everything going on. And if your parents say, we're not going to play those games. Now remember, parents always have a rule, for every no, there should be a. For every no, there should be a. Very important. That's a good rule. So if you're going to say no to this, you better go find something to say yes to. I think that's very important in our day. Because there's a lot of choices out there. Is that right? And you don't want to just say, no, no, no. Is no easy to say, parents? Sometimes the easy way out. To go find a yes is hard sometimes. And I think that's very important to catch that. Because in Micah chapter 4, verse 5, it says, though the nations around us follow idols, we will follow the Lord our God forever and ever. Is our nation around us following all kinds of idols and all kinds of stuff? And they're just crazy about it. And just going more crazy about it. You know, I like sports. I do. But can you take sports to a level that it keeps you from praying, keeps you from reading your Bible, keeps you from coming to church, keeps you from doing that? Yeah. Sports shouldn't take first place. Now, maybe you love it and all that. Nothing wrong with being a fan, okay? But we need to keep it in check. Is that right? Does it creep up on us, huh? What we love? Come on, admit it. It creeps up. And we have that in the area of hobbies. Nothing wrong with having a good hobby. But if you're not careful, you'll be doing your hobby, and then you'll be noticing you won't have your Bible reading. You missed your Bible reading that day. Missed your Bible reading for a week, but you're doing your hobby. You got to get those weeds out. You got to do that hobby. And it's important. He says, folks, be careful, because if it hinders you from walking and talking and knowing me and spreading my love, that's a problem. Because God says I'm number one. And have nothing before me, behind me, after me. Don't make any images of me. This is the first end of the first commandment, and the second commandment come really close together. And he says, wow, don't you do it. Put the next slide up. I like this. I found this. It says, idols demand sacrifice. Is that right? You sacrifice for this stuff. You spend time, energy, effort, dreaming, thinking, planning. You just love it, okay? But never offer grace in return. Only God does that. Huh? Think about that. I thought that was worth thinking about. Okay, we need to be an idol guard. I'm looking for idols. Next, we need to be an idol smasher. Huh? They smash the idols. In Exodus 34, verse 13, it says, "And ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images, their sacred pillars, and cut down their groves, their religious heathen pagan poles that they worshiped at." Smash them. He says, smash them. Do not have God, not God, but God, no God but God. Breaking with the idols of our age is so important that we say, I'm going to deal with this. And in the Bible, Joash tore down all the idols when he got to be king. Asa in 2 Chronicles 15:8 tore down, put away. He took courage and put away all the abominable idols, and he renewed the altar of the Lord. And he says, man, no God but God. And he worked at it. We need to be on guard, because everybody's got idols. Is that right? Everybody. And I need to be on guard of idols. I'm going to guard. This is my guard. This is my guarded statement. This is it. Keep yourself from idols. It's my job. My idols. My things creeping up. Hindering me. Inhibiting me. Distracting me. And then I need to smash these. Why? Because we got a jealous God. Let's look at Exodus 20, verse 5. Everybody there. Exodus 20, verse 5. For the Lord, right in the middle, B. For the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. You realize you're either loving God or hating God, and you can't be in the middle? That's heavy. Showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. In chapter 34, it says, verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God, is a jealous God. And this jealous God is just not a God that's against you. He loves you. And it's a jealous love. We need to guard against idols, idol guard. Be an idol smasher when we find them. Admit it, deal with it. Knock it out. Don't play games with it. Flee. And then we need to realize why we do this. Because I got a God that is jealously in love with me. And He doesn't want me to share His love or His devotion or His following or His glory with anybody or anything. And He wants me all for Himself. You are mine. And we need to realize that's the kind of God I love. And that's the kind of God I want to be around. And it is wonderful, because He's a God that loves me, and He loves me with His jealousy. His wrath is there. His vengeance is there. His justice is there. Wow. No idols. No idols. No idols. No idols. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26, and I close. It's a powerful verse. Let's look at it. Let's all read it together. Deuteronomy 7, verse 26, right up on the screen. Look at it. Let's read it together. Neither shalt thou bring an abominable into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Do we allow too many wicked things in our homes? Parents, we need to understand this. I'm not going to allow that. That is godless. It affects me, it affects my children, it affects my grandchildren, and it hinders my time of prayer, hinders my time of Bible reading, hinders my time of service to God, hinders my time. And I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be on guard here, and I'm going to smash them because I got a God that's jealously in love with me. Amen? Let's all pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you today in the idol issue? This is really important. Because our idols are things that hinder, interfere, inhibit God being first place in our lives. There are things like our pride. I think that's the biggest. Ego. Love of self. Placing self first. There are addictions. There are possessions, materialism. There's lust, there's greed, there's careers. We just got to advance up and up and up. And that becomes our idol. Hobbies. Oh, in their position, they're great, but they start to take first place. They start to interfere with our time and service and surrender to God. Sports. Sports is a big issue in our day. Teenagers, children, when you're involved in sports, God's still first. If you have to choose between going to church on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, then sports, you've got to choose God. That's a testimony. That says God's first. My parents did it in my life, and it really spoke of what's really important. Big deal. You probably get punished for not coming in. Certain times. I got to go to church. I got to go visit my grandma. Is visiting grandma more important than playing sports? Yeah. And it's heavy. It's heavy. And we need to make some statements. Teenagers, when mom and dad says, hey, this is getting a little out of kilter. We're putting too much emphasis in this area. It's keeping us from our devotions, keeping us from our service for God. We're doing this a little too much. Back off. Admit. You know, you wouldn't allow a mouse in your house. You wouldn't allow spiders in your house, but we allow idols in our house. Be an idol guard, dad, mom. Be an idol smasher, teenager. Why? Because you got a God that's jealously in love with you. He wants all of your attention, all of your worship, all of your service, all of your surrender. He doesn't want to share His glory with nobody. How many this morning say, preacher, I'm thinking of some idols or some potential idols that I need to get rid of. They've become too important, too big, too dominant. Too much of my time, too much of my dreams. I got to back off. I might have to throw them away. I might have to smash them. Preacher, pray for me. Can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? Huh? Raise your hand. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Very important. Be honest. Be an idol guard. Be an idol smasher. Why? Because we got a jealous God that loves us. And He's worth sacrificing everything for because He sacrificed everything for us. What a wonderful God. That's why the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Homes. We need to have homes that are God homes, that are producing godly children and teenagers. And the idols of paganism in our culture are all around us. They're bombarding us. Mom and dad, stand up and say, hey, God's going to be first in our home. God's going to be first. God's going to be first. Dad, make that statement. Mom, make that statement. Talk to your teenagers, your children this afternoon. God's going to be first. No idols. No idols. If it's hindering us from our Bible reading, our prayer time, our church time, our ministry time, our service time, our loving our brothers and sisters, community time, our evangelism, our loving witnessing to our neighbors, we're too busy. God's first. God's first. God's first. Lord Jesus, minister to every home here and help us to give our homes to You, because as for me and my house, we must serve the Lord. Patrick.